Back together again, you and I, Thursday, August 11th, 2022, on Connecticut Today. We topped the show with some news about a key personnel move at the top of Bob Stefanowski's Republican gubernatorial campaign. U.S. Navy veteran and Heritage Foundation analyst Brent Sadler joined us to chat about the current state of Navy readiness. Let's start with this, right? And as the great Bob Dylan sings, times they are changing, and change in times, at least for the next 3 months here in Connecticut. Interesting. You remember the name Pat Sasser, Patrick Sasser? Yes. If you are a radio listener in Connecticut, obviously you're listening to the radio. But if you're a radio listener in the state, you probably heard Patrick Sasser. Boy, that seems like eons ago, right? Pre-COVID. Remember that? before the bat soup illness or whatever descended on the world, Pat Sasser was a very, very visible trucking company guy, firefighter from Fairfield County, put together, you remember the organization, I talked to Pat numerous times, radio hosts, TV people, all over the state. Remember him with No Tolls CT. Remember that organization? And the website, notollsct.org. And at the time, I was saying when I talked to Pat before and after, I would say, listen, Pat Sasser, what he did a couple of years ago in getting almost getting over 100,000 people's a lot of votes there, getting over 100,000 people to sign petitions statewide that actually thwarted a plan by the governor. Remember that plan? There were going to be 15 tolls, then 30, then 50, then 8 on the bridges, off the bridges, on the way to the bridges. I mean, it turned out to be just a joke in the end. And what Pat Sasser did and his and the folks that were involved in No Tolls, CT.org, and, you know, without, you know, blowing our own horn here, I think what a lot of talk radio people did, too, is get the message out that you can say no. It's okay if the voters say no. If they say no, we don't agree with your plan because we don't want to pay X amount every time we get up and over a bridge. Why? Because you didn't use the special transportation fund the first time that you allocated money for this in the state budget by the state constitution or some law that you may have passed. So why in the hell should we trust you again? So Pat was able to tap into that, and the governor had to relent on that, and he wasn't happy about it. You heard him for a couple of years, and a lot of people said, well, Governor, sir, with all due respect, what do you expect people to feel? So now fast forward, and it turns out that Bob Stefanowski has hired Patrick Sasser to be his new campaign manager. And this is not the first political campaign he has run among the stuff that he's done. Ryan Fazio, who's a guest on this show a lot, a Republican state senator from Greenwich. Pat put his muscle and his strategery behind getting Ryan Fazio elected in that special election. Now he'll have to run again come this November. So it's interesting now that you're going to see and hear a lot more. I think it's going to get tougher, and it should. It should. And by the way, our Facebook question as we start off the show today, facebook.com/WICC600. Again, facebook.com/WICC600. Wondering about the campaigns as they've played out right now. What did I say the other day? I think nobody wants to talk about the real tough issues in this campaign. Oh, it's about Trump. Oh, it's about abortion. You know, oh, it's about guns. No, how about the bread and butter kitchen table issues? That's why I think, my humble opinion, I could be wrong here, I think largely we've had what I like to call a junk food campaign so far. As far as, and we just heard it on the news, Trump's on the ballot, Joe Biden's on the ballot, guns, abortion, guns. Again, these are issues that the common person in Connecticut, the common person who doesn't use litmus test stuff, cares very little about, I honestly think. Well, Paul, they don't care about guns in schools? No, it's not what I'm saying. top of mind issues are taxes. How much does gasoline cost? Sales tax? Am I going to get screwed if I'm a business owner every time I want to do something different? Why? My favorite issue, why is Connecticut 39th in the country in business friendliness here? I mean, that's horrible. 39 out of 50. And everybody crows. What a great state we have. So, again, to circle around and bring this all back, I think this is a good move. It must be because the Hartford Current, I don't know whether you saw the Hartford Current's headline. Here's the headline from the Hartford Current. Ready? I'm going to read this as it pertains to the story about Bob Stefanowski hiring Patrick Sasser. Here it is. Quote, Stefanowski hires aggressive leader of anti-tolls movement to be his campaign manager. Whew, no bias in that one, huh? Aggressive leader as opposed to what? As opposed to what? Stefanowski hires. What does the Current want? Stefanowski hires a socially aware leader of movement to rob Connecticut of vital infrastructure funding to be his campaign manager. Aggressive. My campaign guy better damn well be aggressive here. So our Facebook question today, facebook.com/WICC600. A couple of interesting responses so far. Are the Lamont and Stefanowski gubernatorial campaigns discussing the important issues that you want to hear about? The issues that you want to hear about. Maybe you don't want to hear about abortion. Maybe you don't want to hear about guns. You're a law-abiding gun owner, and you don't want to hear about it. Doesn't mean you're a bad person, right? But you don't want to hear about it. So are the Lamont and Stefanowski gubernatorial campaigns discussing the important issues that you want to hear about? For example, why is the governor's campaign never questioned by or to any great deal addressing the fact that we're still so low in business friendliness in this country? Why is that? 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. So Pat Sasser, the guy that, you know, I don't want to say single-handedly because he obviously had help both on the ground and from media folks here in the state, a lot of talk radio folks, including myself, said, hey, good on you. So is this going to change the tenor of the campaign? Says here in the Hartford Current, Sasser became the face of the anti-tolls movement as he helped collect 130,000 signatures against Lamont's plan for electronic highway tolls. Sasser was known for his aggressive, there it is again. It's like when the Democrats use extreme. So Ned Lamont is not extreme, Bob Stefanowski is, and Pat Sasser is aggressive, high-energy style, in bluntly criticizing Lamont and generating a grassroots campaign against the tolls. Sasser saying Wednesday, quote, I'm going to use the tools I've learned over the years on smaller campaigns. Adding that the campaign against tolls was, quote, probably the largest grassroots movement the state has ever seen. And he's right. And I told him that. So good on you. What do you think of this whole thing? 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. All right, a lot of you folks out there, numbers of you are probably military veterans, especially veterans of the U.S. Navy, so you should listen keenly to our next guest, who has joined the Heritage Foundation after a 26-year Navy career, numerous operational tours on nuclear-powered subs, personal staffs of senior Defense Department leaders, and as a military diplomat in Asia. Our guest is a 1994 graduate with honors from the U.S. Naval Academy with a degree in systems engineering and a minor in Japanese. He also graduated with distinction in 2011 from the National War College, receiving several writing and research awards. That's just a fraction of his great resume. Brent Sadler joins us. You may have seen him on national news outlets, and Brent joins us this afternoon. Hey, Brent, Paul here at WICC in Connecticut. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for that really kind introduction.
Well, listen, every one of my guests has resumes, Brent, that are far better than mine. So I make it a point to make sure that people know that. And I know the hard work you probably put into that. I know, Brent, judging from stuff the Heritage Foundation sent me, you analyze this stuff, obviously, with your vast experience. Questions, Brent, worries about leadership in the Navy, the command structure, and long-term about where the service is going. Update us as to what's going on with the U.S. Navy here from your point of view.
Well, the first thing is the world's a much dangerous place than I think a lot of the very senior political leaders want to admit that it's become. I mean, just look at last week's Chinese response and ongoing military exercises around Taiwan. We're in a very precarious window of time that we've only got maybe another year or two to build more ships, to build up the Navy that we need, because it takes so long for industry to respond to demand to build ships. So that's the first thing, which if you don't have the leadership inside the Department of the Navy, which includes the Navy and the Marine Corps, you're not going to have that type of vision and drive, and most importantly, the political cover to drive forward with urgency. And there's a key job that's missing right now in the Secretary of Navy's office. That's the RDA, the Assistant Navy for Research, Development, and Acquisition. And so it doesn't matter what your plan is if you don't have the leadership to deal with it day to day and drive forward and fight the budget fights.
Brent, why is that job open, not filled? Is it politics? Is it money? What's going on here?
It looks and feels a lot like there's a politics that's at play. The other services have their acquisition chiefs in place, and so their budgets have political oversight or political cover, and they're moving forward. But the Navy now, we're going on 2 years without a acquisition chief for Navy. And so the Marine Corps and the Navy are suffering as a result of that, at least in the internal debates about building a bigger Navy and getting the Marine Corps ready for 2030, a modern Marine Corps force. And part of the suspicion is that the Secretary of Defense's office, led by, you know, the efforts really led by the Deputy Secretary of Defense, if you've read this recent Politico article, confirms this. The vision that the senior leadership have is one where a larger Navy doesn't necessarily fit into. And so there is the difference. The White House has not really driven a vision that's unified, and therefore there's no urgency to fill that job over at Navy. So politics, politics, politics.
Yeah, Brent, and Brent Sadler is the guest. Brent, before we take a break here, so I know there's often, Brent, this schism between the bureaucrats, the pencil and pen and paper pushers, and folks like you who've actually been on subs and on ships and look at Navy tactics and war tactics. Is that the problem here? Is it a money thing? Is it kind of, well, we really don't need this? And are other folks like you saying, hey, wait a minute, you've got to look at the bad guys and look at how we fight the bad guys? Is there a section of D.C. or the Pentagon that doesn't want to hear that?
There's a little bit of that. I'd say it's also folks in uniform, too. For 30 years, the priority has been cost efficiencies, not mission efficiencies. In other words, you know, shrinking budgets and doing more with less has been pretty much the way that the Pentagon's operated for 30 years, because there really wasn't a threat out there that you had to worry about when it came to building big things like a larger Navy. That's changed, and only in the last few years has that become politically acceptable to call China a threat or an aggressor, an adversary, let alone a competitor. So the institutions are still trying to catch up. So part of it's institutional, uniformed as well as civilian employees, changing from a cost efficiencies to a mission focus or a threat-based budget. So that's part of it. And the politics, of course, there's still a desire to try to get back to a more friendly time with the Chinese. But sadly, that reality has passed us by years ago.
Yeah, I want to talk about that when we come back. Brent, hang on. He's with the Heritage Foundation now after a long and solid career with the Navy. Brent Sadler. We'll talk about the threat that China poses. Coming back with Brent, first traffic and weather together right here on WICC. Brent Sadler is the guest, Heritage Foundation gentleman who looks at all issues surrounding defense and in particular the U.S. Navy, where he had a long and distinguished career. All right, Brent, let's look at the bad guys and bad gals now, bad actors. China, like you said, 20, 30 years ago, just an afterthought, kind of a rinky-dink navy. Not so now, correct? In fact, that I see in the last few months, Brent, the Chinese Navy just launched its own designed and built aircraft carrier, right?
That's correct. Yes, a super carrier.
Yeah, yeah. So should we be worried, Brent? Are your contacts in the Pentagon, are they worried, or is that too extreme of a word?
I would say it's a very rational caution, and military planning requires a lot of measured risk. And so I wouldn't say it's emotional. It's certainly very professional inside the Pentagon. But that being said, the danger is far larger than I think many people really have an appreciation for. The sailors out there forward in the Western Pacific have seen it, and they've dealt with the Chinese. They know how they are, bridge-to-bridge radios, talking to each other, and can be very aggressive, also in the way they handle their ships. And they're only getting more and more brave or less fearful of the U.S. Navy, and that's because they've got quite a modern fleet, not one they had 10 years ago.
How does it stack up against our fleet? Do we still rule the seas from sheer numbers, or is that gap getting smaller?
It's actually, you have to take the answer to that in a couple pieces.
Sure.
One, and folks on the Hill actually did this, and I think it did a disservice to the threat that we face from the Chinese. One is, on a ship-to-ship basis, if you took a destroyer and you place it against the equivalent of a Chinese destroyer, or even as big as a cruiser, there are advantages that we have still over that Chinese ship. The one area that we don't, because it's not uniform, so the advantage isn't assured anymore, they have longer range weapons. But our sensors and our joint training and joint warfare, like network, when you bring in the satellites and the Air Force, we have an advantage. But then when you step back and you look at the aggregate, all of our military, all of our Navy and how it connects to that joint force, and you look at what our mission is versus what the Chinese mission, principally an attack or a war over Taiwan, they have a home field advantage. Their military is built and designed to defeat one adversary, and that's us. Ours has actually been designed the last 30 years to basically manage the peace of the post-Cold War era. So the ranges of our weapons, the ranges of our aircraft, our sensors are all geared towards a very different threat, not the Chinese blue water threat that we're facing now. So in some ways, we outclass them. In other ways, they've got the advantage. And it's at best to say it's a mixed assessment of who is the better Navy overall.
Brent Sadler, if for some reason Xi Jinping and Beijing order their forces to take control of Taiwan right now as we speak, what would happen? What would that look like?
So we got a bit of a dress rehearsal, and the Chinese even admitted this. They had several generals actually go on TV in China that said as much. So what you would probably see is a similar kind of display like we had last week, where they would declare an enclosure or a closure area around Taiwan, establish a blockade. They would probably... they have a couple of choices. They either could just do that for a long time and try and starve out the Taiwanese. That likely would not be effective for what they're trying to do, because it would go probably too long. The other is they might actually try to take one of the small outlying islands to make a political statement, make the United States look like an ineffective security partner. That still then spirals into a violent fight, probably more localized. More likely, if they're going to go, they're going to go big. And the next phase is a massive missile assault on Taiwan.
Wow.
Resulting in massive losses of life, civilian as well as military. So if you look at what's happened in Kyiv, and you look at what's happened in Kharkiv in Ukraine, you kind of have a taste of what you could expect to see in major metropolitan areas like Taipei and Kaohsiung.
Wow. Finally, Brent, you just mentioned Kharkiv and Ukraine and all that with Russia. How do we stand? How do we face off Navy to Navy now in the present day about Russia? You don't hear too much of the Russian bear anymore. I know for years, and being somebody who read about this, I know that that it was always kind of our subs versus their subs. How do we stand on all that if things got nasty with Russia?
So like the Chinese, you got to look at them like, what's their mission? And where would they most likely confront us in a fight? The biggest danger from the Russians still, as it was towards the later part of the Cold War, is from their nuclear submarines. They're outclassed by ours, but they are a hard target. Let's put it that way. Their surface ships, their aircraft carrier, not able to pace us or to compete. But they wouldn't fight us that way. They'd fight us probably deep at sea with their submarines, or they'd wait until we're close to land where we have to come to exercise our power, say in Syria or in the Black Sea, if heaven forbid we had to be in that kind of fight. So they would probably fight us differently than a Navy on Navy. But their submarines, they are a threat. They're lethal, and that takes a lot of capacity, a lot of ships and aircraft to locate them and then to isolate them.
Wow.
Or to take them out.
Yeah, Brent, let's hope never with either country. Brent Sadler, a longtime Navy veteran, numerous decorations and accolades, and you can read his stuff at the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org. Brent, good to speak with you. First time here, and hopefully we can have you back. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Look forward to coming back.
Appreciate it. Brent Sadler there, Heritage Foundation. What'd he say? There it is. China's Navy is getting bigger, and the Russian nuclear subs are still forced to be reckoned with. Wow. And we thought we were by all that, right?